It is time now for the Berkshire Edge On Air. TheBerkshireEdge.com is where you'll find them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, TheBerkshireEdge.com. And once a week, we like to get together and discuss. We just pick a few of the stories that are at TheBerkshireEdge.com. And right now, I think we've got Marcy and David with us. Good morning.
Yes, you do.
You do.
And we're both here.
Pretty amazing. I don't know how you do that.
Amazing.
It's called an adrenaline
rush. We're not sure how we do it either.
Yeah, I just got back from dropping a kid off at school.
That's right. No, I totally understand.
And I have to drop another one off in a few minutes.
Amazing.
I'm here for a little bit.
Okay,
We'll take you while we've got you.
That's right. Yeah. And we'll get started right away. And I like this first one. We can't get there from here. Great Barrington residents are mad about the two bridges that are now under repair.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, well, this is, yes, they are. And in fact, I am, because I just had to do a big detour to go around this bridge over the Housatonic River, one of two that is out, one of two bridges that are
two out of three that
out
we
of
have.
Three that are out of, you know, that are needing repair and are closed. And this is just, you know, one of those infrastructure issues that, you know, this bridge needed to be upgraded. But the planning was, you know, horrendous. People call it scandalous. What they've said is that all these bridges, these key bridges are out at the same time. You know, it's just making life a little difficult for not only drivers, but for school bus drivers and getting kids to school too.
Well, you would figure that, and the one bridge that remains, I would figure sooner or later is going to need some reinforcements.
Well, that Brown Bridge, you know that. Well, that's Route 7.
Yeah.
And you know that is a U.S. route.
Yeah.
And that is going to have to be repaired soon, and that's going to be a major. I don't know how they're going to do that. That's going to put a lot of traffic right through neighborhoods in Great Barrington. That's going to be a hassle.
Yep.
Well, it's more than a hassle. I mean, there will be no way to drive through Great Barrington because the Housatonic River runs right through the town,
yeah.
and there are three bridges that cross the Housatonic,
yeah.
And if they close down the third. So there was a select board meeting last night, and, you know, there is a wonderful business right at the bridge that's, you know, one of the big bridges that's closed,
Taft Farm,
which is, wonderful farm and fresh corn and fresh produce and baked goods. And they say that their business is down 38% because nobody can get there.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't get there from here. I mean, we'd have to go all the way around. And, you know, I often stop in there because it's on the way home. But now it's not on my way home anymore, and I don't go anywhere near there anymore. And, I'm not alone. But this is an issue. We were watching a program on PBS the other night about infrastructure problems. It was actually a program about the collapse of that bridge in Genoa a couple of years ago in Genoa, Italy, which prompted people to begin to look at bridges all over the world. And, you know, bridges were built to last a certain number of years, mainly about 50 or 60 years, and so they are collapsing.
Here,
I don't know how old these bridges are, but I'm sure all over Connecticut and the rest of Massachusetts, we have bridges like this that are on their last legs, and you don't want to be the car that's on the bridge the day it collapses.
No.
I mean, that would not be fun.
Well, it's part of America's problem, where instead of directing money into renewable resources for energy and also in the infrastructure in this country, we hear talk that, well, yes, we're going to do it, but it never gets done. And there's millions of dollars to be made by people working in these projects and companies and steel companies. You name it all. It's the upside for doing this work on the environmentally conscious projects and on bridges and infrastructure is outstanding. And sooner or later, we'll get somebody at the top that will recognize that and put people back to work like Franklin Roosevelt did.
To be quite honest with you. You know, but it's a question of taxes. Now, the Brown Bridge, which is the only bridge that's still open, as David said, is a state road. So the state will no doubt pay for a good part of that. But, you know, the others are local bridges, and that means that they get paid for by the town.
The other problem is there's a queue. You know, all these projects are lined up to be, to be done, and the bridges in Great Barrington are at, you know, low down on that queue, so it's going to be years before they're done, you know.
Well, it's going to be interesting to follow. I mean, it's one of those things that that you know that if the dominoes all fall in the right pattern, it can be really terrible. You could have all those bridges closed at once.
Yeah, it could be.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it would be bad luck. But you know, it's times like that when bad luck happens. You know, it's amazing.
You can organize that too. Just a little bad organization, and the next thing you know, you've got no way around. Like, oh, we didn't talk.
That's right.
I just think you should get the pot shops to finance the bridges.
Well, maybe they will.
That's right.
Well, they will because, you know, customers won't be able to get to them.
Exactly.
That's exactly right. All right. Let us move forward and go to another topic. Now, you're going to have to explain this out to me fully because I basically thought this was a dead issue, but your story says basically the fairgrounds in Great Barrington is on the cusp of receiving a permit to have horse racing, and you've got opponents' letters. I really thought that this was a dead issue in Great Barrington.
Well, it isn't. It's still being kept alive by the owner of the Suffolk Downs in Boston.
And his Boston connections.
And his Boston connections. And so we have got a number of letters saying, please don't open the fairgrounds to horse racing again. And mainly on the basis of cruelty to animals. And I have to say that they're right, at least at this level of racing. It is those horses are not being treated very well, and it's not that they're old; it's that they are being injured when they're being forced to run, even though they're injured. And I have to say that one time years ago, I was at the track and watching a race. And a horse stumbled because he had broken his coffin bone, and they came out, put up a screen, and shot him right in front of the audience. So,
well, it's a sport different levels. It's like any sport. There's different levels of any sport, and there's different things in any sport. But it's going to be interesting because normally, and this sounds, I'm going to say this and probably have people throw rocks at me, even though a new state senator has rescinded his support for it. If the idea gets to Boston and gets into enough heads, more than likely it'll happen.
Yeah, well, you know,
You
know, this is, we have to remember, this is a fairgrounds, and in former days, you know, the Great Barrington Fair was one of a circuit of country fairs in which farmers would take their horses for not only flat track racing, but they would have other kinds of horse racing, and they'd go from Great Barrington and they go north to other fairs as they went along and ended up in Vermont, and it was a kind of country thing to do, you know. It was a much more innocent enterprise and a much more, much less corporatized, you might say.
Well, just look at it this way: if Massachusetts allows legal betting, horse racing in Great Barrington, and pot sales, you can just rename the town Sin City.
But not just that; you can fix those.
The new Saratoga, right?
You can fix those bridges. Question: is anyone talking about upgrading the fairgrounds?
Well, that would be, they are.
That would be in the process. You know, the other problem with the fairground is that it's on a floodplain.
So they can't do much else with it, really.
So they can't do very much else with it because it does regularly flood. And even the, you know, there's a restaurant down the road slightly east of the fairgrounds that, you know, a couple of years ago was closed for weeks because because it was wet. You know, there was water surrounding it.
Yeah, so there's not much more you can do with that piece of land, really, other than have events on it.
When it's not flooded out.
So it's the what you can use that land for, unless you're somebody who's very wealthy and knows how to do it, is basically to put on events, whether they're any type of event. I'm not talking about just horse racing or music, whatever. But it's limited in what you can do there.
That's right.
It always has been.
Can't build on it.
The main thing. Yeah. That's exactly it. All right, let's go on.
There was a proposal many years ago for there to be a big hotel there.
Yeah, no,
and the proposal failed because it's in a floodplain.
Yeah.
You know, you've got the grandstand there. Somebody could redo the grandstand and then put music acts in where in between though. You know, where the horse racing. But you could have an outdoor concert area like that there. But
that would be very nice.
Yeah.
But you know it's iffy. Just like Tango, where they book these big acts, and if it pours. I mean, I once went to a couple of years ago to a Tony Bennett concert where there were maybe about 25 people there because it was pouring. Yeah. I mean, 25 people on the lawn because it was pouring. So it's it makes it less desirable if it's in the open air, but.
All right, well, let's get back to other news, and that is the meltdown of the Southern Berkshire Regional School District.
they're having a horrible time with accusations coming forth from teachers and lower administrators that the superintendent there has been abusive, actually. And so they're having to decide what to do about. Not only is the school troubled because the enrollment has decreased, but they're having all kinds of personnel issues that have come to the surface, and it's just they're in a real difficult bind right now. And eventually they're going to have to decide, I think as a symptom of the kind of unraveling of that school district, and due to lower enrollment and really a questioning about whether there is a future for just these separate school districts in Southern Berkshire, or whether they're going to have to somehow combine. I think that's in the cards at some point.
All right. Well, it's it's a story that. Not only hits home there, but in Connecticut and New York as well. Declining school populations, and I say school populations because the adult population isn't necessarily declining that much, but families are declining in our area.
Yeah, because the population is aging.
Yep, and it's a problem that's only going to get worse. Well, I want to go on to the next story because it involves your district attorney, Andrea Harrington. And right now, there isn't enough evidence to put charges on the alleged assault of a student at Bard.
Yeah,
right.
That was an unfortunate incident where a student complained that she'd been assaulted on campus. But and in fact, the school was closed down for a week. As a result of that incident, and the campus was closed. But the district attorney, on the other hand, has found that the story is not as clear as the victim seemed to make it out to be, and it's not clear yet what actually happened, and she hasn't brought any charges yet, the district attorney. So it's been Simon's Rock, Bard College at Simon's Rock is now back in session, but it was closed last week, and it still is not clear exactly what happened.
But we have had a lot of discussion about it on the edge. You know, we are, I don't know if we've said this recently, but we are really the only online publication now that accepts comments. And we get a lot of them, and we get some very interesting discussions. And this has been the subject of great discussion. And the, you know, the comments have ranged from, you know, poor little rich girl spending daddy's money and can't tell the truth, to students who are, to people who are, who are complaining that she should be punished for having lied, to students who are saying not so fast, you know, we've had lots of problems on the campus, to other people who are saying, you know, don't be so tough on her. So it's been really a very interesting conversation, and it continues. Every day or so we get another comment that comes in, so it's still very much alive because it hasn't been settled. And the interesting thing is that Andrea Harrington has made, you know, sexual abuse a big part of her campaign. And we had a very interesting article, by Carol Owens, who writes something for us every Tuesday about the history of sexual abuse and the fact that it hasn't been paid much attention to by law enforcement. And here we have a female DA. The Berkshire DA is Andrea Harrington, who's new in her job, and she has made a point that she's going to focus on sexual abuse. And here she has this, you know, difficult situation where this young woman, the student, claimed that she had been abused and attacked, but the evidence doesn't seem to add up to it. But the DA's office has not been willing to make a judgment.
All right.
They have not closed the investigation.
They're just not to the point yet where they can do anything yet. Move forward with it. Let's go on to the two stories that actually kind of intertwined, and you've got them together, and that is Great Barrington celebrating the 50th anniversary of the establishment of the W.E.B. Du Bois Homestead, and also construction work now restoring the Clinton AME Zion Church.
Right, and I'm sorry, but David had to leave. You know, he has a son who has to be at school at 9 o'clock, so he's going to take him there. So I will try to hold up both ends. But this is very exciting because, and we've talked about this before, that there had been not only little attention paid to W.E.B. Du Bois in the past, but actually outright hostility toward W.E.B. Du Bois. And so now we have two things. We have the homestead, which is now celebrating its 50th anniversary, and there's not much there, actually. There's not much of a structure there, but there is a designation that that's it, and there's a walk into the place where where his house stood, and an interesting display of information there. So it's definitely worth visiting. There's still an initiative to have a sculpture placed in front of the library in Great Barrington of W.E.B. Du Bois, which I haven't heard much about lately, but I know that the effort is ongoing. And now we also are about to restore this wonderful church, which was in the black community, which continues to exist in Great Barrington, close to downtown. The community, the congregation was no longer big enough to support the church, and it was falling into disrepair. So we have a community group that has been raising money, formed a nonprofit corporation, raising money to restore this, and it's going to be a community center with a focus on African-American history, of which there is quite a bit in Great Barrington. You know, we were a stop on the Underground Railroad. We've had a stable African-American community for years here. So these are two very interesting developments. And, you know, we hope that the initiative for the statue will also continue.
All right. And finally, you're featuring Susan Dworkin.
Right. We are.
Yeah.
This is a terrific book. I've read it, and Susan Dworkin writes for The Edge occasionally. She's a very accomplished writer and, you know, has several books. And this one, she's got is kind of fun mystery. And she asked us if she could stream the first two chapters. Obviously, she doesn't want to stream the whole book because she would like people to buy it. But we have streamed the first two chapters in hopes of generating some interest in her book. And it's really fun. She reads it very well. She's not a professional, but she wrote it, so she can read it. And she knows where to put the emphasis. And so we just put up the second chapter and this Sunday. And so people, you know, should read it, and if they're interested, find out what happens by buying the book.
All right. Now, it's a little plug once again for the BerkshireEdge.com. Of course, it's there 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. But also
also the calendar.
That's the calendar. I was just going to say that.
Oh.
And also the magazine that you put out now.
Yes, the magazine we put out. We put out a magazine also called Berkshire'sCalendar.com. And it covers events all over the... I mean, it is an overview of a three-month season. We are just finishing the August, September, October issue, and the November issue will be out the first week of November, and that will cover November, December, and January, and, you know, essentially winter. We won't do another one until May 1st. But this magazine has a focus on a number of towns, including Salisbury. It talks about events that are happening all over the Berkshires. We have a feature articles, we have, you know, what are the holiday festivities? So the feature article in this one is wellness, fitness, and fun. Where to stay fit in the winter when you may not be able to go outside. And the other one is where the books are, because winter is a great time to curl up with a good book. So we have a directory of bookstores and libraries and fitness places and yoga spas and Zumba places. So it will be out at the beginning of November. And it also urges readers to go to the online calendar, because it's intended to sort of, you know, give people a little taste of what's happening, but allow them then to go to the online calendar, which is updated daily and has, you know, some 800 events on it at any given time, because the public posts their own events. So it is the most complete calendar. It's beautiful. It's, you know, it's user-friendly, and it's a great resource for the community.
All right. TheBerkshireEdge.com. We will speak to you guys again next week.
Okay.
Take
great.
Care.
Thank you. Bye.
Once again, you can find out our stories and many, many more at TheBerkshireEdge.com.